Here's your pass to the Globe Theater. Globe Theater, the radio playhouse especially for men and women of the armed forces of the United Nations. Just as the Globe Theater has meant the best in entertainment since the days of Shakespeare, today it means the best in radio drama for servicemen and women all over the globe. Here to tell you about tonight's play is your host at the Globe Theater, Herbert Marshall.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Globe Theater. This is a serviceman's playhouse where the foremost actors and actresses of the stage and motion pictures appear for the exclusive entertainment of the armed forces of the Allies. Tonight, we have a bright comedy drama for you with a whole stage full of stars. Basil Rathbone, Marsha Hunt, Eugene Pallette, Charles Irwin, and a cast of radio's best, plus music under the direction of Wilbur Hatch. The marquee reads, "The Ghost Goes West." Maybe some of you remember seeing the picture by this title a number of years ago, before you slipped into uniform. Well, this is that same famous story, with as many laughs and as much excitement, plus a new cast. Basil Rathbone portrays the Glowry, both ghost and contemporary. Marsha Hunt is Peggy, and Eugene Pallette is Martin, the grocery king. Stand by for the opening music on tonight's Globe Theater production of The Ghost Goes West.
If you didn't ken my name, it's Murdoch Lowry. And just so we'll be understanding each other, I'm a ghost. Aye, but I wouldn't be doing a wee bit of harm to a single one of you. Oh, no, I used to be a human being myself. Oh, I was very human then, 200 years ago. I just couldn't resist the lassies, God bless them, and we'll... That's how the whole thing came about. It was a shepherdess that afternoon, as fresh and as bonny as a budding rose.
Explain it to me again, please, Murdoch, so I'll understand this game you play.
It's simple, lass. You see, I ask you a riddle. What's the difference between a thistle in the heather and a kiss in the dark? And if you cannot tell me by the time I spell killy-cranky, you must pay the forfeit. Ready now? K-I-L-L. Very well, then, you must pay me the forfeit.
What is the forfeit?
A kiss, of course. It's always a kiss. Come on now.
Oh. And will you? I'm not that sorry.
The McLaggans.
What is it, McLaggans? What you want with me?
It's the boast that was made by your late father, Murdoch. He said that one cloudy could thrash 50 McLaggans. And now is the time for you to prove it.
There's so many of you, and there's only one of me. And...
Oh, shoot him, Gavin, and be done with
it. No, you mustn't. You.
You killed him. Oh, may heaven receive the soul of Murdoch Glowry.
Murdoch, my son. Can you hear me?
Aye, I can hear your father. Where are you?
I am in heaven.
Then where am I?
You're in limbo, my son. The empty place between heaven and earth. Because you died a coward's death.
But, sir, there were so many of
them. Coward's death. And so you cannot be welcomed by your ancestors in heaven. No, you're doomed to be a ghost. A ghost.
But people are afraid of ghosts, Father. I don't wish to frighten good folk. How long must I stay with this way?
Each midnight you will walk the castle halls until you find a McLaggan there and twist his nose and make him kneel and admit that one Glowry can thrash 50 McLaggans. Then and only then can you ascend from limbo and join your noble ancestors in heaven.
Full 200 years ago that was. And every midnight since then, I've walked the castle halls. Aye, but the castle is different these days. The Glowry clan has come on hard times, and young Master Donald, he's the one they say looks so much like me. He's having his troubles, to be sure. He's that heavy in debt. It looks as though he'll be selling the castle. Aye, but who is there to buy it?
Master Donald. Oh, Master Donald.
What is it, MacNiff?
Somebody to see you, sir. It's about the castle.
Good afternoon. My name is Donald Glowry.
Yes?
Oh, I beg your pardon. I didn't expect to see a girl.
Why not? We're common enough. My name is Peggy Martin. I understand you want to sell this castle.
Why, yes, I mean, that is...
Why do you stare at me like that? Is there anything strange about...
No, nothing strange at all. You're very lovely. I mean, you're an American, aren't you?
How'd you guess? Ever seen an American before?
Oh, yes, several.
Where, in the zoo?
Oh, please forgive me. It's just that, well, We don't often have anyone worth staring at here.
And we don't have lovely old castles like this at home. I hope you won't be too hard on my father.
Your father?
Well, he's the one who'll have to pay for it, of course. Could I bring him here with my mother?
Oh, yes, of course, certainly. Why not bring them here for dinner this evening?
Oh, how nice of you.
Oh, you don't have any other relatives, do you? I mean, no husbands, anything like that?
No husbands, not even one.
Then by all means, it's dinner. Shall we say at 9?
Well, thank you very much. We'll see you this evening.
MacNiff! MacNiff!
Did she buy the castle, Master Donald?
She will tonight. She's coming to dinner with her father and mother.
But what about the Glowry Ghost? He'll appear at midnight and there'll be no sale.
No. They won't see him. They'll be gone by 12.
Aye, they'll be gone. And so will the servants. They'll have no traffic with a ghost.
Wonderful dinner, Mr. Glowry. Absolutely wonderful. And I guess I'm the one who ought to know.
Really, sir?
Oh, yes. My husband is in the food business himself.
Martin's Fine Foods, from coast to coast. Over 20 million customers. You know, that's quite a responsibility. Filling 20 million stomachs every day.
Yes, but it's very profitable, Mr. Glowry. That's why Dad can afford to make an offer on the castle.
I see.
Mother, isn't it wonderful? It's 600 years old, you know.
That's very old, isn't it? Mr. Glowry, is it by any chance haunted?
Well, you see...
Mother's scared to death of ghosts, but I'm not. I'd love to meet one.
Is there a ghost, Mr. Glowry?
Well, I suppose there are legends about every old place.
Nonsense. There isn't any ghost, because ghosts don't exist. Just a lot of silly... what's that?
Only the bagpipes, Mr. Martin. It's an old Scottish custom during dinner.
Listen, it's 12 o'clock, the witching hour. Joseph, we've got to get out of here.
All right, Gladys, all right. Sorry, Mr. Glowry. You know how these women are. We'll have to leave our business talk till morning.
Joseph?
Coming, dear. Come along, Peggy.
Good night, Mr. Glowry, and thank you. It's been a wonderful evening.
Yes, it's been very wonderful. Murdoch Glowry, wherever you are, you've been a most considerate ghost not appearing tonight, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Don't thank him, Master Donald. Thank me.
You, MacNiff?
I set the clock an hour ahead.
Oh, then it's only 11.
Who is that now?
I'll see. Yes?
Hello, I'm back again.
Oh, Miss Martin.
Did you know your clock is an hour fast?
Really,
I just happened to notice the clock in the car, and then Daddy got a grand idea. You know, it's just silly to buy a place without ever having stayed in it. So I thought, could you put me up for the night?
For the night?
Oh, any little corner will do, any extra room.
Oh, of course, yes, certainly. Mrs. MacNiff, I believe we have a guest for tonight.
Clock again. It must be midnight now. I wonder if... Yes? Yes? Who is it? I thought I heard that... Why, it's Mr. Glowry.
Of course.
All dressed up like that and tartan and kilt. For a moment, I thought you were a ghost.
I'm a ghost. I'm the famous ghost of Glowry Castle.
And they say the Scotch have no sense of humor.
Why do you laugh? Do you not believe me?
Oh, of course I do. And I think you look marvelous in that fancy dress costume.
Or this. Oh, it's just what I happen to be wearing on the day of my death.
Oh, your death. When did that happen?
Well, I forget the exact date. But it must be all of 200 years ago.
200 years. My, for goodness sake, and you look so young.
Do you not realize that we never age? Or are you no use to meeting ghosts?
No, this is my very first encounter. And I'm surprised I'm not terrified of you, Donald.
Why do you call me Donald when my name is Murdoch?
Because I'm no more frightened of Murdoch than I would be of Donald.
I'm glad of that. I wouldn't like to alarm such a bonny wee lass. Oh, it's been a long time since I saw the like of you. Not since that day I was teaching the bonny shepherd. Tell me, do you give me the game of spell me a riddle?
No, how's it played?
You see, I ask you a riddle, like, what's the difference between a thistle in the heather and a kiss in the dark? And if you cannot answer by the time I spell killy-cranky, you must pay the forfeit. Ready now? K-I-L-L.
I'll give up.
Then you must pay the forfeit. We are kissed.
Oh. All right, but first you've got to tell me the answer.
Oh, no, the forfeit comes first.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
I tell you it does.
And I tell you good night.
Dinner go, Willard. Come out. Come out or I'll come in.
Murdoch, my son.
Aye, Father, I know. But it's been so long, Father, so long since I saw a lass as bonny as that wee one.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Miss Martin. Your father's here. He's looking over the place.
You know, I like you, Donald.
Like me? Oh, do you really?
Very much. I like people who do crazy things.
Crazy things?
Like dressing up last night and pretending to be a ghost.
Oh, that.
And are you going to tell me the answer this morning?
Answer? I'm afraid I don't quite...
You know, the riddle.
The riddle. No, I can't tell you just now. You see...
Well, I guess I'll never know the answer till I pay the forfeit. So, here it is. There's your kiss. Now, what's the answer?
Well, I... Oh, no. You can't have the answer yet.
But I've just paid you for it.
Do you think one kiss is enough for the secret mystery of Glowry Castle? Oh, no. That's just the beginning of the forfeit.
But that's not fair. You said...
Oh, there you are, Glowry. I guess I've seen enough.
But, Mr. Martin, I wasn't doing anything.
No, but I was. I just looked the whole place over, and I might as well make my top offer first. $50,000.
$50,000?
On one condition, though, you've got to come with the place.
Come with it?
On contract, of course, 200 a week.
But what must I do?
Oh, you just supervise the job, that's all.
What job?
Why, when we rip the castle down...
Rip it down?
Why, sure, that's the idea. Take the whole place down, stone by stone, and ship it over and put it up again. Get it, Mr. Glowry? In America.
Father, can you no hear me?
Aye, Murdoch, my son, I can hear you.
Father, what is this strange place? Where am I?
You're in the hold of a ship, my son, on your way to America.
But I don't want to go to America. I don't want to be a confounded columnist.
You must go, my son, with the old Glowry Castle which you dishonored.
But, Father, must I stay down here in the hold all the time?
Oh, when it's dark, you can walk out on the deck, my son. But mind you, no trifling with the lassies now.
It's nice out here on deck, isn't it, Donald? I mean, much nicer than being inside, all that crowd at the ship's masquerade.
Yes, it's much nicer out here, Peggy.
Not that you look as silly as the rest. You know, you're very handsome in that Scotch costume.
Oh, it's just the Glowry tartan and kilts.
That's what I mean. Donald.
Yes?
When you've finished rebuilding the castle in Florida, why not live in it?
But you'll be living there yourself.
That's all the more reason. We could be together. You and I.
It's getting rather cold out here, isn't it? Shall I go and fetch a rug?
Yes, if you wish.
I won't take a moment. I'll be back right away.
Oh, Peggy Martin, you must be slipping. Can't even get the guy to tell you.
You lass. We haven't met before, we two.
Don't be silly. You just went to get me a...
Wait. It comes to me now. We played games together.
Obviously, you're very fond of games.
I, especially the riddle game. If you follow me, it's a means to an end.
You mean so you can... Oh, I understand. And I apologize.
Apologize for what, lass?
For having misjudged you, Donald.
Donald? Oh, do I have to tell you again? I'm no Donald, I'm Murdoch.
Oh, Murdoch, yes.
Yeah, I'm the ghost of Glory Castle.
Oh, Mr. Glory. Mr. Glory, sir.
Go away, man. Can't you see I'm busy?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm just doing my job. I'm the ship's photographer, you know, getting pictures of all the best costumes. Oh, this is Mrs. Ortonberry.
I'm Cleopatra tonight. Isn't it fun?
Oh, no. What do you wish with me?
I just want to shoot you and Mrs. O together.
Shoot me?
I won't take a second. Now, steady, sir.
Stop. Take that infernal machine away. Take it away, all right?
Hey, he's gone.
Just disappeared right into thin air. Murdoch. It was Murdoch Lowry. A ghost. A ghost. A ghost. Up on the promenade deck. They say he's walking in the hold, a ghost.
I tell you, I saw him myself, as big as life.
Of course, I don't believe in ghosts myself, Donald. It's my wife. These silly women.
She isn't silly, Mr. Martin. There really is a ghost.
Dreaming up all sorts of...
Huh?
What's that?
Yes, I've seen him many times myself.
Oh, well, under the circumstances, it breaks my heart, of course, but out of deference to my wife's wishes...
Joe Martin! Well, there you are.
Oh, hello, Ed. Meet Mr. Glowry, the fellow that sold me the castle. Donald, this is Mr. Bigelow, a competitor of mine. Owns the Bigelow chain store.
Congratulations, young man. You too, Joe.
Congratulations? What for?
Say, the radio's humming with that ghost story of yours. Why, it'll make the front page of every paper in New York. Pretty smart publicity, Joe.
Well, it isn't publicity, and it isn't my castle anymore. My wife made me give it back.
Ted Lowry, is that true?
I'm afraid it is.
No fooling. You know, I might be interested in making you an offer for that castle.
What's the idea, Ed? What for?
Oh, publicity. Just think, a ghost comes all the way across the Atlantic to proclaim the merits of the Bigelow chain stores.
What? You mean you're going to use my ghost?
Oh, it isn't your ghost. You gave it back. Lowry, I'm offering $100,000.
And I'm offering $125,000.
Joe, you can't do that. Your wife won't let you.
My wife hasn't anything to say about this. From now on, this ghost is strictly business.
Peter, this is Murdoch. Can you now hear me?
Aye, I can hear you, my son.
Peter, I didn't like it here. I didn't like Florida.
That, my son, is a privilege reserved for Californians.
They've finished rebuilding the castle now, Feather, and they've turned the brightest lights on it.
Ah, yes, I know. Publicity.
Publicity?
A form of human madness, my son.
Aye, but there's more tape on that, Feather. They put a huge picture of me outside on a great banner that says, "The Glory Ghost prefers Martin's fine foods."
And how do they know fine, my son?
How should I know, Feather? I haven't eaten a bite in 200 years. Peter. There is something. Peter, there is something even more dire.
And what is that, my son?
This Martin's given a banquet tonight to prove to skeptics that I really exist, and fearing that I might not appear, he plans that young Donald shall go in my place, dressed like me, pretending to be a glory ghost.
Young Donald was cast in your very image, my son. I can scarce tell the two of you apart.
But the laddie is an amateur. He does not even belong to the ghostly guild. Peter, how much longer do I have to bear with this?
You can your sentence, Murdoch, my son, until the glories are avenged.
12 o'clock, time to go downstairs and play my masquerade. Well, might as well get it over with. But this is the last time I'll... Oh, I'm sorry.
Murdoch. Murdoch Glowry in tartan and kilt.
Murdoch? How do you know I'm not Donald?
Oh, it couldn't be. Donald left this afternoon. My dad just told me.
And aren't you afraid of Murdoch, Lowry?
Oh, I couldn't be afraid of anyone I've known so long. Murdoch, remember that first night in Scotland?
I remember, Peggy.
Peggy? That's the first time you've called me by my name. Sounds as if you really were Donald.
If Donald was speaking, you wouldn't listen.
Oh, I would. But he won't be speaking to me anymore. He's gone. He wasn't very much interested in me.
I think you're mistaken.
You do?
Oh, yes. You see, I know him very well. He's one of those stupid men who are afraid to speak.
I guess I was stupid, too, and proud. I couldn't tell him how I felt.
Well, if he came back and said what was in his heart, that he loves you.
If he loved me, he wouldn't have gone away without saying a word.
Nobody wants to say a lot of words, do you? And he may not be very far from here. What will you say to him, Peggy?
Oh, I'd tell him I love him. But he won't come back.
He will. He will come back. I promise you as soon. Excuse me, lass. I must be off. I have a little matter to attend to downstairs.
Well, it's after midnight and your ghost hasn't shown yet, Joe. I still don't think there is any ghost.
Don't you worry, Ed Biglow. He'll be here, though he'll probably be sorry he came when he sees you in that Scotch costume you're wearing.
What about you? What about the outfit you've got on?
Well, I'll have you know this is the Glowry tartan, and who's got a better right to wear it than me? I own Glowry Castle, don't I?
Well, then, where's the famous Glowry ghost?
I'm afraid there won't be any Glowry ghost tonight.
Huh? What's that?
Donald, I thought you'd gone.
I'm sorry, Mr. Marty, but I had some unfinished business here.
Oh, say, Joe, he's wearing the same tartan as you. I guess you both belong to Martin's fine food clan, huh?
You lay off of him, Ed. Donald here is a real Glowry.
So what? My family's a lot more important than his.
Oh, really? I've never heard of the clan Bigelow.
Not Bigelow. It's on my mother's side. I'm the last member of the clan McLaggen.
McLaggen?
Yes, and I've had enough of this phony business. I'm going home.
You can't, Mr. Bigelow, wait.
Oh, save the explanations. I'm going home.
No, you don't. Murdoch, I've got an McLaggen for you.
Oh, here, what's the meaning of this? Let go of me. Let's go.
Hold it, McLaggen.
In a try to move.
Who are you? Where'd you come from?
Look to the limbo where I've been waiting for over 200 years.
You can't be Donald. There are two of you here. You must be the...
Murdoch, the ghost of Glowry Castle.
McLaggen, present your nose.
Oh, please, I didn't mean anything. My nose.
Down on your knees, McLaggen. Repeat after me.
Yes, sir. Anything you
repeat,
say.
I humbly apologize for the insult to my superiors, the Glowry.
I humbly apologize for the insult to my superiors, the Glowry.
And I freely admit that one Glowry can thrash any 50 McLaggens who ever lived.
And I freely admit that one Glowry can thrash any 50 McLaggens who ever lived.
Fever! Did you hear him, Fever? Is that enough?
Aye, my son, your mission is fulfilled. You may now join your noble ancestors in heaven.
Thank you, Fever. Oh, I'm grateful indeed, for I have grown very, very weary of this earth.
When we met in the hall and you thought I was Murdoch, I saw my chance to tell you how I felt.
Tell me again. Do you love me, Donald?
I do.
Oh, that's three times as much as I ever dared hope for. Donald, now will you tell me the answer to the riddle?
I'm sorry, Peggy, I don't know the answer.
But I paid you the forfeit with a kiss.
Then for the honor of the Glowrys, I must give it back. There. Would you consider yourself even now?
Yes. But, Donald...
What, darling?
Riddle me another riddle, please.
And thus the ghost, in the best Scottish tradition, has gone west, and we have come to the conclusion of another play from the stage of the Globe Theatre. Our stars were Basil Rathbone, Marcia Hunt, Eugene Pallette, and Charles Irwin.
If tonight's show had suggested to any of you servicemen the possibility of bringing home an old Scottish castle as a souvenir for a grandmother, perhaps, I'd like to discourage you. Castles with well-behaved ghosts are as rare as oysters with pearls. And although Mr. Pallette arranged it, during wartime you can expect considerable difficulty getting castles through the customs. Right now, they're changing the letters on our Globe Theatre marquee to read, Meet Corliss Archer. And the story concerning that meeting is a matter of interest to every serviceman overseas who has a kid sister. For Corliss Archer is almost everybody's kid sister. Here's a preview of the story involving Corliss on the next Globe Theatre.
Johnson, what the devil's the matter with that little sloop over there? Don't they see our signals?
Oh, I can't figure it out, sir. They don't seem to pay any attention.
Well, I'm going to give them just about 2 minutes more, then I'll fire across their bow.
Aye, aye, sir.
These weekend yachtsmen. Don't the darn fools know they've drifted right into a United States naval minefield?
Oh, the poor suckers. They'll probably find out the hard way.
Mr. Archer, and I think they're still trying to signal to us.
Well, I wish they'd stop running up those silly little flags. How am I supposed to know what they mean?
Oh, what's that, Harry? Oh, that's all right, Mrs. Archer. We just scraped against one of those floating buoys.
Oh, you're crazy. There aren't any floating buoys out at this distance.
Well, sure there are, Mr. Archer. Look, we just drifted by another.
Where, Dexter?
Hard to starboard.
Oh, don't talk Greek to me. Left or right?
Oh, there, Daddy. I see it right there. See?
Oh, you mean that metal thing all covered with knobs?
Yeah. There's another one, see?
Well, so there is. Hey, Dexter, I think we'd better tie up to one of these buoys.
Okay, Mr. Archer. But how'll we do it? I mean, we're drifting by quite rapidly.
Use your imagination, boy. Throw the anchor at it.
Okay, Mr. Archer. Whatever you say, but that's a pretty heavy anchor. I mean, gee whiz. You wouldn't want to damage one of those buoys.
Go ahead and do what you're told.
Aye, aye, sir.
Daddy? Daddy, how do you feel?
How do you think I feel?
Well, Daddy, I was only inquiring about your health. You don't have to yell at me.
I haven't even started yelling yet.
Hey, Corliss, what is it, Mildred? It says here, violence is one of the first symptoms of insanity. And it is then imperative for the safety of others in the crew that the victim should be knocked unconscious, either by the fist or by any convenient weapon, which, however, should be padded to avoid permanent injury.
Oh, golly.
I don't think Daddy would like that.
Here, Mr. Archer. Here's the anchor. Now, if you'll help me heave it at one of these buoys.
All right, Dexter.
Come on, Mildred. Let's all help.
Yeah.
Come on, Mom. Look, Daddy.
What?
We're coming to a whole cluster of boys now.
What the devil was that?
Holy cow, Mr. Archer. I think they're firing at us from the Coast Guard cutters. Holy cow.
Golly, Daddy. Don't you think that's a dangerous way to signal?
I certainly do.
Harry, what'll we do? Oh, I wouldn't worry, Mrs. Archer. They're pretty poor shots. I mean, they missed us both times.
Your reserved seat in the Globe Theater will be waiting at our next performance, starring Janet Waldo in the role of Corliss Archer, and a story which might have taken place right in your own home with your own family. It's something a little different from our regular schedule of Globe Theater shows, but we think it's a play you'll enjoy. Until next time, then, this is Herbert Marshall saying good luck to you all, and I'll be seeing you.
You have been listening to the Globe Theater with Herbert Marshall as host and master of ceremonies. The Globe Theater is presented for servicemen and women of the Allied Armed Forces all over the globe. Listen for our next Globe Theater production soon. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.